setbacks among the provisions which could end in the final law. Some of the issues it could address include the size of airline seats and room between rows. There's a chance a new law could reverse a 2012 provision requiring advertised airline ticket prices include government taxes and fees. The current version of the Senate bill would prohibit airlines from charging unreasonable ticket change or cancellation fees. The House-passed bill bans airlines from bumping passengers from overbooked flights once they've boarded a plane.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
As kids get ready to head back to school, or maybe your child has already went back to school, one of the things we need to keep in mind is how to keep our food budget under cost and under control. Chris Hogan is a financial expert. He has one thing you need to remember when you're grocery shopping.
We all know food is a requirement. People are going to buy groceries. But also, you all, this is an area that people tend to overspend. Food, they go in and you can shop there and there's all kinds of stuff. I want to encourage people to get on a grocery budget, go in with a list, and only buy the things on the list. That way you stay true to your budget and you stay focused on your finances.
Hogan is also not a fan of using that credit card to pay for groceries.
As a former banker, your debit card that's attached to your checking account,
okay,
it's protected. So you're okay to go in there and to use your debit card or to use your PIN. It's totally fine because with a debit card, it's coming from money in your checking account.
Right.
With a credit card, you're using someone else's money, so they're charging you interest.
Hogan also has some advice when it comes to saving money and how much money you should have in reserve.
3 to 6 months of expenses on average will give you a cushion if there's an illness, a job loss, any kind of major thing going on. It won't cause you to go back into debt. So definitely have 3 to 6 months of expenses parked in a money market account. It'll make you feel peace in areas you didn't know were stressed. But I only want people to do that after they attack debt and get themselves free of that.
That audio courtesy of Fox Business. And for USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. Congressman Jack Berkman is also a retired Marine Lieutenant General. We'll talk about our nation's needs. Then we'll discuss the attack on the Center for Military Readiness by an LGBT group. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a privilege to introduce Congressman Jack Berkman. Jack served in our Marines and commanded all of our Marine Reserve forces. Welcome aboard, General.
Hey, great to be with you, Denny. Thanks for the opportunity.
Jack, let's begin with a review of your military service. When and why did you join the Marines, and what kind of positions did you have? What training did you do? I think you were a flyboy, right?
I was. Well, flyboys are usually reserved for the fighter guys. I was a helicopter pilot. I can consider myself an airborne grunt because we had a firsthand view at the treetop level during my service in Vietnam. But I joined the Marine Corps, signed the dotted line in October 1966, right during the early stages of Vietnam. Graduated from college, went to flight training, and ended up flying CH-46s, the Marine version of the Army Chinook, and we did combat assault. So everything from taking the troops in to resupply to medevac to extract, it was a great mission for the Marine Corps and for me personally because, again, as Marines, as you know, as soldiers, we fight as an air ground team with coordination of everything in support of that grunt in the fight.
Well, as a guy who was a grunt in I Corps during Tet 68, fighting with the Marines, I truly appreciate what you guys did because I don't have specifics, but I'll bet you saved my case a bunch of times. So I can't say.
You never know.
The important thing is that we be a team. That way you don't have to worry because somebody's covering you.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, it was an interesting time in our country, and there were tough choices to be made on some people's part. Not for me personally. My dad had served in World War II, and I was raised in a family that saw service as a duty, and we need to do what we need to do during the times in our country's history to step up to make sure we remain the land of the free.
So, obviously, if you started out as a pilot, you probably stayed, for the most part, either in aviation or at those horrible times when they made you fly a desk, and that was pretty much your career. But as you became a general officer, you got to do other things, didn't you?
Well, I did, and I had, over 40 years, because my career spanned 1969 to 2009, and I had reserve time, active time. After 7 years of active duty post-Vietnam, I got out and sought my fame and fortune in the business world. But I stayed in the reserves, and the opportunity to be a reservist gave me opportunities as well as others, whether individually or collectively as a group, to do some very interesting missions and still maintain a civilian career. Fast forward, after all of that, after 9/11, the use of the reserve and guard was unprecedented, and I was recalled to active duty for my last 6+ years. Working in the Pentagon for a couple of years and then receiving a third star, taking command of the Marine Corps Reserve. Interesting data point. In New Orleans, where it was headquartered, where, by the way, PX Kelly had moved them in the 1975-76 time frame, but we took command 2 months before Hurricane Katrina arrived.
Wow, that's serious timing.
Well, we had a staff of about 800 folks down there, 650 uniform, 150 civilian. Multiply that by family members, had responsibility for about 2,500 folks. The single stat that I'm proudest of is that during the 3 months that we were displaced from our home base down there at the headquarters, there was not one personal injury involved. Everybody turned two. did the right thing, kept themselves, their family members safe, and then we were able to get back into our headquarters building about 3-4 months later after, you know, in the aftermath of the rehabilitation, if you will, of the building after Katrina.
Well, that's sure the sign of a good team, if they can get the job done and keep everybody safe. I'm sure you are proud of them. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're about to discuss challenges to our nation with Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman. Okay, Jack, you became a civilian or went into the business world. Talk to us about what you did there briefly.
Well, my first job that I took after my active duty in the Marine Corps is I went into the operating room equipment business. I interviewed with a lot of different companies, different industries. You know, I was young. I was 27 years old. It was an opportunity to check out all different industries, but the idea of working in the medical industry to help people who need help, that kind of drew me, and I kind of cut my teeth in the operating room as far as learning the business, learning the surgeon's needs and all of that, and I pretty much stayed involved with that endeavor for literally almost 40 years. From the time I got out till really about the time that I decided to run for Congress, that's when I really kind of pretty much cut most of the ties, if not all, to my private sector business endeavors, just because if you're going to be a congressman, you got to be a full-time congressman, not a part-time one.
Yes, sir. Talk to us about that. How and why did you make the decision to run for Congress? What need did you see that you felt you could fit?
Well, you know, number one, I've watched very carefully how families are doing, how societies are doing, how countries are doing, and I thought we could do better at the Washington, D.C. level. And had some ideas, and lo and behold, in our district, it became an open seat. Our congressman decided to retire, not run again. So I decided, well, I'll throw my hat in the ring and see what the voters think. And the next thing you know, I'm elected to Congress. But to me, it's a chance at the federal level, at the Washington, D.C. level, to get things done, not to continue to kick the can down the road. Federal government was designed by our founders to work in conjunction with the states, but not interfere with the states. So I guess the basics of my platform when I was around the first district talking to people is, hey, look, I'm a very fiscally conservative individual, and my goal is to get the federal government out of your pocket and off your back and let the state make the decisions that are relative to their, if you will, citizens. Because we might do one thing certainly in Michigan, they might do it totally different in Mississippi. That's all good. But federal government solutions, a one-size-fits-all, ends up fitting no one.
Jack, it sounds like you've read the Constitution of the United States.
I have a couple times.
Because so many people I get in conversations like this with haven't read it. They don't know that's what the Constitution says we're supposed to do.
Let me just make a comment on that, because the fact is my youngest daughter, who's in her early 40s, is a career elementary teacher. And in fact, we talk a lot about what the education system is teaching our young boys and girls today as they prepare to become young men and women. And one of the challenges that they have as youngsters, they don't know what they don't know. And if you're not teaching the Constitution and government and civics at the especially the middle school and high school level, then we're shortchanging our young 18-year-olds when it comes to their understanding of who we are as a country.
Well, I teach American government at a community college or two, and it's rare to find a student anywhere who knows anything about our Constitution except that we have one. So, yeah, we got a real challenge here.
Well, one of the questions, I meet with a lot of student groups, whether they be coming to D.C. for a tour or whether I'm back in a district and going to a school. But I ask them a couple of questions to start with. The first one is, what came first, the chicken or the egg? In this case, did the federal government found the states, or did the states found the federal government? And it is amazingly sad how many of them do not know which came first, that the 13 colonies, you know, fought the Revolutionary War. They don't know that the Articles of Confederation existed prior to the Constitution. So, you know, we can do so much better on the educational level to prepare our youngsters to become 18-year-olds.
There's a gross understatement. We haven't even started, but we're about to start talking about some threats to our nation with Congressman Jack Bergman. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, I want you to hit the deck right now and rest. The starting position for the push-up is called the front-leaning rest. Get into the front-leaning rest position and think patriotic thoughts and stay there till we return. I want you leaning mean. As the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Ash is proud to work with the Defense Commissary Agency to offer high-quality products, honest value, and consistency you can trust.
Home-based products cover all your pantry essentials, from tissue paper to reusable containers, offering you quality you expect and savings you deserve. Learn more at SpartanAsh.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Sit down with your children and make a plan for home defense. Let them know that if shooting starts, they should drop to the ground for safety. If they hear breaking glass or see a home invader, they should notify you immediately if safely possible. If they can't get to you, they should hide until the danger is over. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This report is brought to you by Oria Alert Find. Active shooter events are sadly becoming a frequent occurrence in the United States. In 2017 alone, there were 29 such incidents throughout the U.S., and around half of these typically occur in the workplace. Jason Bryant is an active shooter training expert.
It takes law enforcement an average of 3 minutes to respond to an active shooter event. This leaves the targeted organization and its employees 180 seconds to fend for themselves. What they do in that time matters, but what matters even more is what the organization does in the preceding weeks, months, and years to prepare.
Most companies have no formal plan for this kind of an attack. Learn from a police expert exactly what to do to protect employees, giving them the tools and training they need to react immediately to an active shooter can save lives. For more, visit ActiveShooterAssessment.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Caldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Congressman and retired Marine Lieutenant General Jack Bergman. Jack, let's talk about some of the threats facing our nation today, domestic or foreign. What are the one or two or three top ones on your list?
Well, let me frame it just slightly different. What is the single most currently used weapon against us daily by our adversaries that we use for good? And it's pure and simple. It's the internet. So when you start to think about the threat,
is that we know that our adversaries, whoever they might be, whether it's a nation state, whether it's just some pop-up group that is just, you know, some particular ideology, they use the internet to recruit, they use the internet to train, they use the internet to actually perform an operational mission, to do the recap, and they start the cycle all over again. So you can see this at the most national level, or all the way down to just a local, again, just individual ideology. So as we talk about evolving threats, we, as the United States, I believe, have to come to grips with the fact that this is a tool. The internet is a tool that's being used against us. So as we counter the threat, and all threats emerge or evolve, we have to figure out cyber is one of the newest areas within the Department of Defense and within business, for that matter. Cybersecurity, cyber threats, that is one of the key threats that we have to face going forward as a United States.
Jack, you're a congressman, and your congressional district is basically the northern end of Michigan. So you have a big part of international border. What's border security like, in your opinion? How important is border security, in your opinion, and how good is ours?
Well, now I have a little unique advantage, if you will, in border security, because on the northern border of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is this little body of water, and I say that facetiously because as youpers, we don't exaggerate. It's called Lake Superior. Okay, so we can monitor what's going on the other side of the Canadian border up there. It's a long crossing for Lake Superior. But when you go east in the Upper Peninsula, where the Canadian border gets very close to the Upper Peninsula, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, the Sioux Locks, which have been in place for over 100 years, the majority of the iron ore comes through the Sioux Locks down into the Great Lakes, down into the St. Lawrence Seaway. A long time ago, 30 years ago, there was a proposal put together to modernize the Sioux Locks. It got authorized but never funded. Okay, fast forward 30 years. We now, just recently here, Army Corps of Engineers has upgraded their study to reflect not only economic concerns but also national security concerns because of that lock. That lock, if it was to close, if one of our adversaries was to do something, that could put the entire United States into a recession within about 6 to 8 months. And think about my role as a congressman trying to explain to someone in, Tennessee why they should prioritize the repair, the remodernization of the Sioux Locks, because their automotive plant will shut in a matter of a few months because that iron ore doesn't come through there. But that's one of the infrastructure projects that I would suggest to you now should be titled Strategic Infrastructure, using the new landscape of national security overlaying the economic security.
Wow. I'm a Michigander, and I didn't realize, I knew the Sioux Locks were important, but I didn't have that perspective. And that doesn't just apply to Michigan. As you pointed out, that applies to a big part of the United States, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, there are ports in Houston who are in Galveston who would shut down because those freighters would not come in there. You look at the foot of Lake Michigan down in Indiana, and right there where Illinois meets Indiana, the old steel country down there. You look along Lake Erie, the economic effects, which then in turn translate into security issues. If we don't have the raw materials to build whatever it is we need to build, then we're relying on somebody outside the country. That is not a position we want to be in.
Amen, sir. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing our nation's response to threats with Congressman Jack Bergman. Jack, we're winding up now. This is an election year. What can we, you, I, our listeners, do to help people get involved in the election that is so important to our nation that's happening right now?
Well, number one, vote. Not going to tell people who to vote for, but remember, men and women for over 240 years have given their lives for the right for others to vote. And if we don't vote, we dishonor in some way the service of those men and women who sacrificed it all for our country. So number one, vote. Number two, understand that, as we talked about earlier, the best solutions are done at the local level
not the federal level, because there are differences between Maine and California and Florida and Minnesota, you know, but get informed on what the issues are in your area. And remember that all the money starts, all the money that is spent by the federal government starts in your pocket. So that money that comes for some program is coming from your wages that you earned working a hard job, raising a family. So look at the folks who are trying to control and cut federal spending and wisely use those federal dollars to either provide for the common defense, as it says in the preamble to the Constitution, promote the general welfare, et cetera, et cetera. But look for the people who actually understand that in business, two and two must equal four, and you have to have money in the bank before you can spend it. So I would implore people to really look at the spending long term. But, and here's the but, and there's a saying in business, sometimes you have to spend money to make money. When we did the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act at the end of December, nobody believed that the economy would take off like it did. Here we just had a report in the last few days, 4.1% growth. That, if you will, deficit that was created by the tax cuts, at this rate of growth, that is, it just dissipates in a heartbeat because you have more money in the economy because businesses are growing. The biggest thing we see across the entire country right now is help wanted signs all over the country. We need to make sure that we've got qualified labor to fill these jobs so we can keep our economy going.
Yes, sir. Jack, how could listeners, if they wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do that?
Well, we've got all the congressmen and congresswomen have their websites at bergman.house.gov and all the information right there to reach out to our one of our offices. And in our particular district, we have an office in Traverse City below the bridge and an office in Marquette above the bridge and, of course, our office in Washington, D.C. But the best way nowadays is through email, phone calls. I'm so proud of our staff for the constituent service that they do. But that's the best way for people to get involved.
Great. Jack, thank you for taking the time to join us today, and thank you for your service to our nation. I appreciate you, and thank you especially for the way you're serving now. I'm proud to call you brother.
And welcome home, brother.
Amen. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk about an LGBT attack on the Center for Military Readiness, and then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Shouldn't your home be your own? Custom? One of a kind? Introducing Custom Fabric Design, exclusively from Budget Blinds. Now you're the designer. We'll help you pick a pattern that matches your style perfectly. Next, choose from every color in the rainbow. Then take your pick of six luxurious fabrics. Now we do the rest. Budget Blinds will turn your design into beautiful custom drapes and pillows just for you. That's Custom Fabric Design, only from Budget Blinds. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. See for yourself. Call for a free consultation right at home. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS or go to budgetblinds.com. This is yours alone for your one-of-a-kind home. So call 855-BUDGETBLINDS. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS now. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
USA Radio News.
Today, the Mendocino Fire, which is burning northwest of Sacramento, became the largest fire in California's history. Firefighters are continuing to battle the situation, but this man says it's so sad to see people lose all they had.
What can you say? It makes you sick to your stomach. Everything they've worked for all their life, gone in a heartbeat.
The search continues for University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts. Now, she went missing almost 3 weeks ago. Now, her father is still holding out hope and believes she may be with someone.
Probably someone who cares about her, but that relationship was misguided, misinterpreted, and went wrong. And I think they are in a place with Molly, and they don't know how to get themselves out of this horrible situation.
Meanwhile, authorities are remaining tight-lipped when it comes to any suspects. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. Hey! So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach? Hey! Because Hotels.com lets me do me. Hey! And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop.
Hey!
I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hey! Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Spartan Nash and their military division, MDV. Spartan Nash is a Fortune 400 company and is the fifth largest food distributor in our great country. They've been honored as a veteran-friendly employer with over 800 associates self-identifying as reservist guardsmen or veterans. MDV is the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world. And in 2017, they were selected by the Defense Commissary Agency as the exclusive supplier of the Freedom's Choice and home-based brands to commissaries. Learn more or check out for career opportunities at SpartanNash.com. Now it's a pleasure to welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom, Elaine Donnelly, the founder and head of the Center for Military Readiness. CMR has focused on the social aspects of our military for quite some time. Welcome back to the show, Elaine.
Nice to talk with you, Danny.
Elaine, start off with a quick background on CMR. Why you started it and what your specific topics are.
This is our 25th anniversary year.
Wow.
I founded CMR in 1993 to stay current on the military personnel issues that I studied when I was a member of a presidential commission. And our assignment was women in the military, women in combat in particular. And when that commission was done, I realized there was no organization that was following the military social issues full time. That was back during the Bill Clinton administration. And his first objective was to have gays in the military, big debate about that. We had a big educational conference on it. That was our first project. And that issue is advanced to areas that people did not expect back then. Now we're talking about transgenders in the military. But our basic principles remain the same. We believe that military readiness has to come first. Equal opportunity and other considerations might be important, but basically it comes down to combat effectiveness, military and mission readiness. And so our views right now are in tune with the Trump administration because they are trying to apply those same principles to the armed forces today.
Well, I totally agree with you. As a guy who's got a lot of years as a combat veteran infantryman, combat readiness is more important than anything.
Well, you would think everyone would understand that, but I realized, many years ago, even before the presidential commission, that some people have different agendas. They have social agendas. Some people believe that gender diversity metrics, for instance, is a strategic imperative. There are officials in the Pentagon who really believe that. That was the official policy of the Obama administration for 8 years. And in the last 2 years, the Obama administration decided to introduce into the armed forces a group of people who suffer from a medical condition called gender dysphoria, or people who are confused about gender identity. people who identify as transgender or have been diagnosed as having gender dysphoria have been on a long list of conditions that make you ineligible to be in the armed forces. So you can have a lot of sympathy and a lot of concern about people who have such a serious medical condition. They certainly deserve competent medical care and honesty and certainly not politicized medical care. But the Obama administration imposed this agenda on the armed forces starting in June 2016. And the new administration, though, has a different set of priorities in mind. And so President Trump, when he came in, announced that he was going to change this policy. Now, the activists pretty much lost it when the president issued a couple of tweets saying, we're not going to continue having transgenders in the military. As we predicted, in August, he came out with a formal memo. That's how things are done with the White House and the Pentagon. And he instructed the Pentagon to review the current policy, find a way to deal with people who were already in the military and identified as transgender, and also to look at the entire policy in terms of military readiness. So 6 months later, actually the study started sooner than the president's directive in August. In February of this year, the Department of Defense came out with a new set of policies. And what they did was they revoked President Trump's initial directive, and they came out with a nuanced policy. And I'll try to summarize it very briefly because it's not exactly the same as what it was before President Trump came along, but it certainly is different than what was the case under President Obama. Basically, in summary, the policy would first disqualify persons with gender dysphoria from military service. Secondly, it would allow persons identifying as transgender but without gender dysphoria, that's the medical condition that I mentioned before, they can serve in their biological gender if they have been stable for 36 months, 3 years, and meet requirements for deployability. And finally, the third group would retain the grandfathered personnel who identified as transgender during the Obama administration. They are being allowed to remain in the military because commitments were made during that time. The Trump administration is not revoking those commitments, but the policy will change. Now, this president has just as much right to deal with this policy administratively as Obama did when he was president. But the LGBT activists say no, they want the judges to decide. So they immediately filed lawsuits in four different federal courts. All four of these district judges ruled with preliminary injunctions telling President Trump, sorry, you may be the president of the United States, but I'm a judge and I say that you have to return to the Obama policy. Now, mind you, Article 3 of the Constitution gives federal judges absolutely no power to run the military, but that's what happened. Two courts of appeals went along with that. The activists behind these lawsuits are trying to prove, this is where the conspiracy theory comes in. They want to prove, they feel they have to prove, that when Trump changed the policy, he wasn't acting on military advice, even though there's lots of evidence to the contrary, that he was following military advice. They are saying that he was influenced by outside groups, people who harbor animus against people who suffer from gender dysphoria. And so they have handed subpoenas to several organizations, including my organization, Center for Military Readiness, demanding the right to search through our emails, any correspondence with the White House or the Pentagon. This is how the conspiracy theory goes. It's so ridiculous. So if we have animus, and there's no evidence that we do, somehow we can prove that the president was influenced by my organization and these others who are handed subpoenas, and that was the reason they promulgated their policy. And all of this happened back in 2017 in a narrow window of time before the president issued his tweets. It's like a daisy chain that is so ridiculously fragile, it all falls apart. There's nothing to hold this daisy chain together. And yet they are trying to make this case in federal court. And just yesterday, we had to file the latest response to a motion to compel my organization to turn over documents. So as briefly as I can state where we stand, that's where we stand. And we don't know how this federal judge will rule in the Eastern District of Michigan, where I live. There's other organizations involved, too, Heritage, Family Research Council, and I think Liberty Council and a few individuals. It's really a coordinated legal attack to try to stifle the president, to hold him back on his presidential prerogatives, and, coincidentally, to chill the right of organizations like mine to petition the government, to hold accountable the people who run the military. We're not critical of individuals. We are critical of the policymakers. They make policies under which people live and sometimes die. They should be held accountable, and that's what we do. But, you know, we're being dragged into court, or they're trying to drag us into court because they have a lawsuit pending against the President of the United States.
That sums it up pretty well. Elaine, you go through this quite often, but this is the first time it's just been this big. We're out of time, but take a minute and tell people how people can get in touch with the Center for Military Readiness to learn more, donate, or get involved.
Well, you can find more information on our webpage, www.cmrlink.org, and you can communicate with us. There's a portal there where you can write to us and tell us what you think about this or personal observations that you might have. We have several articles about the new policy that Trump has announced, but it's not in effect yet because of the federal judges. So this is an ongoing story. It's going to take a couple of years before all of this gets straightened out. It'll eventually go to the Supreme Court. In the meantime, you can stay current on what's happening. Again, our website is www.cmrlink.org.
And Center for Military Readiness is a great organization. Thank you, Elaine, for taking time to join us today.
My pleasure. Thank
you for your service to our nation. I'm proud to be a partner with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your putting the spotlight on this issue.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be at 100 pounds by now. Do 60 bench presses. I want you combat ready. Then stand at ease. United American Patriots defends U.S. service members who are wrongfully accused of a crime in combat. This includes providing resources for legal representation during investigations, court-martials, the funding of experts, post-trial clemency and hearings, appeals, providing stipends during incarceration, funding family member travel, and facilitating reintegration into civilian society upon release from incarceration. Check UnitedPatriots.org.
For those who have loved ones serving in the military, waiting is a way of life, whether it's by the phone or by the computer. And waiting is not fun, especially when the waiting is for the status of an unexpected injury. Fisher Houses give families of wounded warriors receiving care at military or VA medical centers a home away from home, so they can focus not on waiting, but on being together in a time of need. Learn more at fisherhouse.org.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on huntertonchamberradio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, huntertonchamberradio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Caldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send me your thoughts at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
George from Virginia wrote that he knows we're into guns for self-defense. He's planning on buying an AR-15 for home self-defense and wants to know how many clips he should get when he gets his rifle.
Well, George, the right answer is zero. Zero because an AR-15 won't take clips. A clip is a solid piece of metal that holds bullets together. The M1 rifle, for example, used clips, which held 8 rounds together, and the spring in the rifle pushed the rounds up into the breech for firing. The AR-15 and many other rifles and pistols use magazines to hold and load ammunition into the weapon. Magazines have internal springs to feed the bullets into the weapon. Hey, Skip, how many mags should he get? I'd say at least 3.
Well, Colonel, I have over 50, but that's probably a little more than you need for home defense. I would say 3 is a good number. If you need more than one 30-round magazine, you're probably in trouble.
Ooh, you got a good point there. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, the other day I was thinking about my time in Germany as the second command of a mechanized infantry battalion. One of my responsibilities was the battalion's mess hall, also called the dining facility. The mess hall was being inspected one day. While our excellent mess sergeant was conducting the inspector around, I was there too. At one point, the inspecting officer was offered a cup of coffee. He accepted and, in jest, I think, I hope. Anyway, he said the coffee tasted like yak urine. There was an awkward period of about 15 seconds before everybody saw the smirk on his face and everybody laughed. I just had to ask. Sir, I said, how would you know what yak urine tastes like? His response? Dennis, in desperate times, men do desperate things. That got a laugh too, and yes, we passed the inspection.
Well, yeah, that was a great comeback on his part because that could have not went quite so graceful for you, Colonel.
You're quite right, and I suspect he'd been asked it before.
Probably.
Well, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 7 August 1782, General George Washington, the Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army, created the Badge for Military Merit, a decoration consisting of a purple, heart-shaped piece of silk, edged with a narrow binding of silver, with the word merit stitched across the face in silver. The badge was to be presented to soldiers for any singularly meritorious action and permitted its wearers to pass guards and sentinels without challenge. The honoree's name and regiment were also to be inscribed in a book of merit. That badge with Washington's face on it is now the Purple Heart.
And on 9 August 1813, during the War of 1812, after reports that British naval vessels were nearing St. Michael's, Maryland to attack the shipbuilding town that night, the county militia placed lanterns on the tops of the tallest trees and on the masts of vessels in the harbor. They had all the other lights extinguished. When the British attacked, they directed their fire too high and overshot the town. A good plan that worked.
And they call that Yankee ingenuity. On 6 August 1945, during World War II, Hiroshima, Japan, was struck with the atomic bomb Little Boy from the B-29 bomber Enola Gay, piloted by Colonel Paul Tibbets. The atom bomb killed an estimated 140,000 people in the first use of a nuclear weapon in warfare. The bomb was a uranium fission weapon, and the yield was in the region of 20,000 tons of TNT. 60% of the city was destroyed in the blast and the firestorm that followed. About 80,000 Japanese were killed. Many more were severely burned, and others became ill later from exposure to radiation. It was not the most devastating bombing attack of the war, but the economy of the effort involved in sending only one plane on a mission to destroy a city showed the complete change in military and political thinking which has begun.
And 3 days later, on the 9th of August, we dropped a second atomic bomb on Japan at Nagasaki, resulting finally in Japan's unconditional surrender. The devastation wrought at Hiroshima was not sufficient to convince the Japanese War Council to accept the Potsdam Conference demand for an unconditional surrender. The U.S. had already planned to drop their second atomic bomb, nicknamed Fat Man, on August 11th in the event of such recalcitrance, but bad weather expected that day pushed the date up to August 9th. So, a specially adapted B-29 bomber, called Bach's Car, after the usual commander, Frederick Bach, took off from Tinan Island under command of Major Charles Sweeney. Nagasaki was a shipbuilding center, the very industry intended for destruction. The explosion unleashed the equivalent of 22,000 tons of TNT. The hills that surrounded the city did a better job of containing the destructive force. The number of people killed is estimated between 60 and 80,000. Had these bombs not forced the Japanese to surrender, the Japanese islands would have had to be invaded. It is estimated that 1 million Allied soldiers, 1 million Japanese soldiers, and 1 million Japanese civilians would have been killed in that event. The bombs were the right answer for everyone.
And that's ironic, isn't it, Colonel? take lives to save lives.
Yep.
On 7 August 1964, Congress overwhelmingly approved the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, giving President Lyndon Johnson nearly unlimited powers to oppose communist aggression in Southeast Asia. The resolution marked the beginning of an expanded military role for the U.S. in the Cold War battlefields of Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. This was the authority for the U.S. involvement in Vietnam.
And on 7 August 1990, President George H.W. Bush ordered the organization of Operation Desert Shield in response to Iraq's invasion of Kuwait on August 2nd. Desert Shield was the existing plan that was to defend Saudi Arabia from a Soviet invasion. The order prepared American troops to become part of an international coalition in the war against Iraq that would be launched as Operation Desert Storm in January of 1991. To support Operation Desert Shield, Bush authorized a dramatic increase in U.S. troops and resources in the Persian Gulf. And that's military history for today. Skip, it's Armed America time. Take us there.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, some people are so intent on wreaking havoc that they don't even heed verbal warnings about the prospect of being shot. Such was the case in Hesperia, California, where a man was trying to force his way into the home of a Vietnam veteran. The military man heard someone trying to break into his home through a window. He grabbed a gun and told the burglary suspect to leave, but the intruder continued what he was doing, eventually forcibly gaining entry, the police said. The armed citizen fired, critically injuring the trespasser. When the police arrived, officers found the wounded suspect on the ground in the front yard.
Thanks, Colonel. One of the most confusing topics for many of my concealed carry students is that of Castle Doctrine. Above all else, they want to know, when can I shoot someone in self-defense without having to worry about going to prison? That's a good question, but not one easily answered, simply because there are so many jurisdictions. Every state has its own set of statutes that define when you can and cannot shoot someone who is threatening you. In one state, you may be able to shoot someone who is attempting to break into your home, like the man in this story. But travel 5 miles to a different jurisdiction, and you can go to prison for using the same deadly force in defense of your life. So I'm going to preface this by encouraging you to take some formal training. Good concealed carry training will cover Castle Doctrine law in your state, so you have reasonable peace of mind knowing when you can stand and fight and when you have a duty to retreat. There are subtle differences in state laws, and you are responsible for knowing them prior to using deadly force. However, in general, Castle Doctrine is the legal concept of the inviolability of the home, which has been known in Western civilization since the age of the Roman Republic. In English common law, the term is derived from the dictum that an Englishman's home is his castle. English common law came with colonists to the New World, where it has become known as the Castle Doctrine. But be very careful, folks. In some states, you can use deadly force to prevent someone from gaining entry into your home, while in other states, you have a duty to make a reasonable effort to flee from your home before using deadly force. In this home defense shooting by this Vietnam vet, it would appear that his actions were legal. California law states, any person using force intended or likely to cause death or great bodily injury within his or her residence shall be presumed to have held a reasonable fear of imminent peril of death or great bodily injury to self, family, or a member of the household when that force is used against another person, not a member of the family or household, who unlawfully and forcibly enters or has unlawfully and forcibly entered the residence, and the person using the force knew or had reason to believe that an unlawful... Do you get it, Colonel?
Got it, dude.
What does that mean in plain English? When a stranger breaks into your house, you can use deadly force to prevent him from killing you or causing serious bodily injury. So, Colonel, our hats off to this Vietnam vet in California who followed the law and successfully defended his life and his castle.
Amen. Our movie of the month is Between Iraq and a Hard Place. Please go to the Frontlines of Freedom website and get to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month. I'd really appreciate getting your input. Please email it to me. Our book giveaway this week is Steve Elam's book, Pipeline. To get in on the drawing, email me, Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put Pipeline in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll be AWOL, and co-host Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will host the show. He and I have just returned from a trip to the biggest air show in the world, the one at Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Among other aircraft-related topics, you'll discuss refueling, mid-air refueling, and talk with a KC-10 pilot. We'll also talk with a Tuskegee Airman and get some insights into NASA's future plans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. And join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed. As the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with the Defense Commissary Agency to provide a taste of home to our commissary patrons around the world.
From canned beans to instant oatmeal, the Freedom's Choice brand has all your favorite food items made exclusively for our nation's armed forces and families with the quality, value, and integrity you deserve. Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can be a battle in itself. The USO provides ways for all of us to support our wounded warriors. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Trump took to Twitter to tout his sanctions that he slapped on Iran at midnight, calling them the most biting sanctions ever imposed. The president also called on other nations to join in the economic pressure. Congressman Ted Yoho shares the effects he believes the sanctions will have.
I think the effect you're going to see is that Iran will come and start negotiating in good faith. You know, that's something they've never done. I was there when John Kerry came in and we were talking about this deal. This was a very bad deal from the get-go, and I stand with President Trump to get rid of this deal and have it renegotiated.
Today, the Mendocino Fire in Northern California became the largest wildfire in state history and has scorched over 450 square miles of land. The fire is just over 40% contained, but this lady says it's still a very sad situation.
Devastating. It's really devastating to see. And so many people lost their homes in the back.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
Older Americans are increasingly turning to bankruptcy. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes takes a closer look.
Reduced income, increased health care costs, and a lack of savings. All of the issues combined are fueling the increase in bankruptcy filings by older Americans. That's according to new research from the Consumer Bankruptcy Project, showing that those over 65 are filing for bankruptcy at a rate three times more than 30 years ago, and those nearing retirement age are also filing for bankruptcy in much larger numbers.
Voters in five states will head to the polls today. The most heated race to watch is a special election in Ohio's 12th congressional district, where a Democrat hasn't won since the 1980s. Former Godfather's Pizza CEO Herman Cain shares what he believes the Democrats will be running on this year.
They're going to try to sell this idea of free stuff, but the American people are waking up.